This is Saturday, September the 30th. This is the second effort at this recording. I completed the first side, turned over and completed the second side, replayed the first, and realized that the material that had been recorded on here initially had not erased. So I'm needing to redo it all, and I'll try to come out about the same place I did last time. Well, this is the first day of the downhill pull. Yesterday was 6 full months, and now the last 6 are beginning, and if they keep zipping along, it won't be long until we're all back together again. I'm mainly telling you about the trip to Bintuy. Chaplain Engel, Arthur T. Engel, Staff Chaplain, 7th Air Force, accompanied me on this trip. We picked him up in our Jeep. Sergeant Murphy and I went by and got him at his office, and went down to the Army Terminal where we were expecting to catch a caribou down for Bintuy. Arrived there about 8:40 on Thursday morning. Well, they kept saying the plane was in maintenance after a while, and after reporting it at 8:40 and still not being in the air at 10:30, we still weren't at 11:30 nor 12:30 nor 1:30. Finally, we got off the ground about 3 o'clock. We did not go in a caribou, but in a 123. Now, 123 is a twin-engine plane like the caribou, but it's much bigger. This particular one also had jet engines mounted on it. Makes it a lot faster, takes off almost like a fighter plane, but the jets are the noisiest, whiniest noise I think I have ever endured in an airplane. During the takeoff, I quickly put my hands to my ears to protect myself because the noise was so bad it caused pain, and I noticed everyone else was doing the same thing. At any rate, we got down there awfully close to 4:30, I guess, time we got into the terminal. They quit work down there at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, so they delivered us on to our quarters, and we were arranging then to get together with the people for dinner. Chaplain Engel was put in with Colonel Mayfield, the base commander, who has a two-bedroom set of quarters plus a living room. Now, you recall on my first visit there, Colonel Hall, the new deputy commander down there, had just arrived and was using Colonel Mayfield's front bedroom, and I used Colonel Mayfield's quarters that first time. Second trip down, Colonel Hall had moved next door and had a two-bedroom set of quarters, or at least a bedroom and a living room with a bed in the living room, and I used the front room of his quarters the last time I was there, and then again this time while Chaplain Engel was teaming up with Colonel Mayfield. It turned out to be a very nice arrangement. We got together yesterday morning, Friday morning, and after preliminary briefings by Chief Warrant Officer Hansen, Heinrich B. Hansen, Hank, we got together down near the riverfront where the smaller river intersects the bigger river, with the airfield built right in the intersection of these two. We rendezvoused with Major Thigpen and Sergeant Fleming. This is the Army Major who advises the district chief of the district in which we were visiting. We took two boats. Oh, there were some 12 or 14 of us, headed out the river inland to the pretty much due south, maybe somewhat southwest, and for about the first 2 miles, when we stayed in the river itself, houses were built all along the riverfront. It was almost as if you were going down a superhighway in a covered wagon, and everyone came out to wave you goodbye or to say hello to you as you went by. At any rate, this was quite an experience for us. Then after a couple 3 miles, we turned left and swung more southeasterly down a canal. There were lots of bananas growing along the canal, close to the canal, and then removed from it, there were mainly rice paddies. There were people all along. The houses were not as close together, but we were almost never out of view of people at any one time. Sometimes you'd see them working in the paddies, this sort of thing. Major Thigpen said as long as he saw people, he was never really worried about these trips back through these relatively narrow canals, even when there were trees pretty close on each side. That as long as the people were there, he wasn't too worried. Our people were armed, but no one considered this a dangerous mission. I guess we traveled by boat a total of about 5 miles, some 45 minutes, and stopped at a little settlement in one of the central hamlets of the six hamlets in this village. Now, the significant thing about this trip is that six RD teams, an RD team consists of 59 people, six RD teams had just completed the pacification program in a neighboring village and had moved over into this village anywhere from the 9th to the 15th of September. In the particular hamlet where we were located, they had been in place only about 10 days. One of the captains gave us a briefing in relatively good English, though they had an interpreter who was able to interpret any time we needed help. And Captain Hui, Dai Wei Hui, also helped some with the briefing. He is the district chief, and we were not expecting to get to meet him, but he turned out to be a real solid character. Dai Wei Hui had been injured by a landmine a year ago, and both of his feet are in very bad shape. He was wearing white gym shoes and blue trousers and a blue jacket like our patients wear who are hospital patients in the Air Force. He went with us wherever we went. We were going out to see schools, school sites, see the RD cadre at work, and so on. And I am telling you mainly about that on the next side, so I won't deal in length with it here. After we arrived, we walked down to the first school site where the school was being built, and en route we stopped and met one of the women cadremen who was teaching students in their home. Until the school is ready, this is the way she's carrying on her teaching. We also were able to meet several of the people in the village, in the hamlet, and received a very thorough briefing by Dai Wei Niu, N-H-I-E-U, pronounced almost like Y-E-W with a little bit of an N sound at the front. He was a much younger man. Dai Wei Hui is 53 years old, very personable, and the people told us, Major Thigpen told us, absolutely honest. And you come to realize that this is one of the most complimentary things that can be said about a government official over in this part of the country. In this one province in South Vietnam, down in the Delta,